What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, managing editor, FightfulWrestling.com. It is time for the Fightful Report podcast. Oh boy, it's a big one. We've got a lot to talk about. Now, if you're new to this, I know we have a lot of new subscribers. What I do is I talk about the Fightful Wrestling Weekly. The Fightful Wrestling Weekly is about 1,000 words every Friday of exclusive info, information from previous interviews that maybe you all missed out on, stuff that doesn't fit into articles, but it's all exclusive to Fightful, or at least stuff that we have broken. And it's a bit of a wrap-up. It's an extra look in a lot of that stuff. And we take our exclusives at Fightful, and they mean a lot to us because there's not a lot of people breaking news in the wrestling game. And we're one of them, so we want to give you all this. If you all want the Fightful Wrestling Weekly early, that is at the second tier. But I also update injury reports and contract reports on this show as well. We found that people were asking us to do that every single week, to do an audio update on who's hurt, what their status is, if it's changed from last week, who's come back, whose contract is up, what's going on there. So we've got so much to talk about right now. Let's go ahead and get right into it. We got Hideo Itami leaving WWE. Now, I had people asking me about PW Insider's report. Now, I'll tell you everything that I was told and about them. They didn't not credit us. I've criticized Mike Johnson in the past for failing to credit us for things. This wasn't a situation like that. His report went up literally maybe a minute and a half after mine. And the only reason his report went up after mine is because I had Jeremy Lambert writing background info for my article because I needed to get that article up ASAP. I wanted us to break that story, and we did, fortunately. But what I was told is that Hideo Itami asked for his release, and it has been granted. It's not official, but it has been granted. He will be released. He will be subject to a 90-day no-compete clause. That means that February, March, April, roughly the beginning of April, he'll be good to go. So WrestleMania weekend, even, he might be good to go. This is a little bit surprising, and it was surprising to some because Mike and Maria Kanellis asked out of their contracts. The Revival asked out of their contracts. They weren't granted any of that. The Revival were told, give us 3 months, let us turn this around. But they weren't given their releases. At this point, if you're Scott Dawson, you're showing up in Hideo Itami's gear, going up to Vince McMahon, hoping he confuses you, and you're like, hey, you said I could have that release, right? You said. But Hideo Itami was all too happy to put people over on the way out. As far as him leaving, I would be shocked at this point, and this is just me, I would be surprised if AEW was interested in Hideo Itami as is. As he is right now, the shape he showed up in at Rumble and 205 Live, that was not Kenta. And what WWE paid for was Kenta. Now, you could say that plenty of that is their fault based on booking. Guy got hurt a lot. That was an issue. The guy hurt people a lot. That was an issue. It's hard for WWE to put trust in a guy like that because of that. Going to Japan, which seems to be a likely scenario for him, there are a lot of options over there. You better believe that New Japan would want to restock that cupboard. You better believe Noah would want him back. A day after Noah, I believe, sold, he has a lot of options. Ring of Honor? Ring of Honor should want him. Ring of Honor should be bringing him in for that ROH G1 supercard. I mean, he's already got a visa. He's good to go there. So I don't know why you wouldn't bring him in to that. He is a top name who has WWE exposure. A lot of people saw him as a top guy, but there were those issues that prevented him from doing more. WWE had lost faith in him. He had been frustrated creatively, and perhaps understandably so. When you come in with all this fanfare and they send Hulk Hogan over to do the signing, and you're the shiny new toy, and you get worn out pretty quickly. I mean, you say that shiny new toy, its arm broke off first month you get it. A lot easier said than done. He had some okay programs in NXT, but I don't think that he was ever quite what WWE thought he would be. And I'll tell you when I saw it, man. I speak about those Columbus shows a lot. Those gave me the opportunity to see everybody in that company, in the NXT company, work. And to Tommy, when I saw him softball kicks in, I was like, man, that ain't the guy they paid for. Whether it was them telling him to do it, or him doing it on his own, or a wrestler saying do it, I don't know who did it, but that was not the guy that they hired. That was not the reason they could have had anybody go out and do what Hideo Itami did. Again, I don't know whose direction that was. I don't know if that was him trying to work to their style, them trying to make him work to their style, or maybe somebody getting into his ear. That's all speculation. But I know that what I saw live on numerous occasions, that wasn't Kenta. Just wasn't. Now we got a half a dozen people who have either asked for their release or informed WWE that they will be hitting the bricks. Among those is Dean Ambrose. So Dean Ambrose informed WWE, according to PW Torch, that he is leaving WWE in April. Now, the only thing in that sense that I can lend some information to is that everybody that I've spoken to backstage, to the tune of about 10 people, believes this is real. All of them. The reason I was told they believe this is real is because so many other people want out, and they don't think WWE would risk working the boys to further a storyline about somebody wanting out. It seems really counterproductive. And that's the sentiment I got from a lot of people. A whole lot of people were telling me that. So the news came from people backstage within WWE. PW Torch broke the news. I confirmed it. Then WWE confirmed it. Now, in the past, when I have asked WWE about the contract status of a performer, they will respond and say, we don't discuss publicly on record or off the record, really, the status of performers. That has changed recently. Ronda Rousey, her contract terms were disclosed as her being under a deal until April 2021. WWE issued a very kind future endeavors message about 2.5 months early. They sent it to media, they sent it to me, they sent it to wrestling outlets, they sent it to a lot of mainstream outlets. It was very easy to tell who was on the WWE mailing list at that point. Now, I am using these as pure examples, but Variety, Rolling Stone, NBC, if they issued that statement to those people who they seek out coverage from to such a desperate level, I don't think they would work those people. I don't doubt that they would try to work us. They tried to work GLAAD in 2011 because that's the thing with GLAAD. They'll get on your back for a little while and then they'll let go. They're always their history with WWE. For better or for worse, if you look back, anytime GLAAD has had an issue with WWE, it goes away very quickly. People just get concerned about other things. I don't think that WWE would risk sending a fake storyline statement, personally, this is my opinion, to those outlets and risk them saying, you know what, they screwed us over when we asked them about this for the sake of a storyline. Because you do run the risk of an editor there saying, well, we're not going to cover them then. And it wouldn't be hard for WWE to set up an interview with Triple H where virtually anybody would have asked him that question about Dean Ambrose, and he could have answered it. It could have been a planned quote. Because, I mean, if he interviews with Rolling Stone tomorrow, and this news hadn't come, or the confirmation hadn't come out, Rolling Stone's asking him about Dean Ambrose. Somebody's going to feed them the question. He answers, it gets picked up anyway. Now, that doesn't mean that this Dean Ambrose storyline won't be integrated into the show. It should be. That doesn't mean WWE won't continue to make efforts to keep him on the show and keep him in the company. They should. I'm just sharing with you my personal experiences from this aspect of the media because we're in a situation now where no matter what I post, I'll have somebody say, not confirmed till WWE says it, or not confirmed until Dave Meltzer says it, Not confirmed until Dean Ambrose says it. Well, not confirmed until Renee Young says it, because Dean Ambrose never really tweets. Not confirmed until this Dean Ambrose fan site that I look at follow or confirms it. That's just the nature of things now in a quote-unquote fake news world. It's very frustrating as well. Simone Johnson, it's not much of a secret that The Rock's daughter Simone has spent some time at the WWE Performance Center and trained. She is a giant wrestling fan. She worked with the class in the fall, or I think closer to summer, September, she was there at the Performance Center doing some work, and she's very well liked. People there just love her. She is very humble and very nice and very open to learning. And that's something that WWE, it's a good step in WWE. If you're problematic to some degree, it's not the end of the road, but she's not problematic at all. She's eager to learn, and you wouldn't know that she's The Rock's daughter if she didn't have that face and if she didn't have that name. But she, for all of the accusations that The Rock puts on a fake persona, the guy is apparently raises his kid right, and everything I've heard of him is that he's a genuine dude as well. But Triple H said that she's likely caught the wrestling bug from her father, and he's sure that The Rock would endorse her having a career in wrestling, but said that The Rock, like himself, values the idea of getting an education before you make that kind of leap, but said it would be hard to not see her in the future, whether it be in WWE or film or just doing whatever it is that she does that makes her successful. The Rock spoke very, very highly of Simone Johnson, and understandably so, based on everything that I have heard about her up to this point. WWE news, man, it just keeps on coming. I spoke to Triple H for a number of stories last week. He gave me a kind of politically correct non-answer. Not that there's a politically incorrect way to answer it, but I asked him about Tegan Knox's status. We'll update you on what the specific injury is later, but he gave a pretty evasive answer, I think, but said that she's healing up and getting better. Following NXT TakeOver Phoenix, we spoke about the possibility of women's tag team titles in WWE carrying over to NXT and NXT UK. Now, earlier in that media call, he had said that they would like to get the titles going from a main roster perspective first and wanted to see how things worked out before determining that they should have any additional titles in NXT or NXT UK or something like that, because they only have so many teams. And there aren't exactly a ton of teams in NXT. You've only got an hour to work. You've already got three titles there. But when I asked him about the possibility of them being floating titles, the WWE Women's Tag Team titles, he said that it has been discussed, but they haven't come to a firm decision as of yet. He said that that's the kind of thing they got to flesh out. They got to see who's going to team up. They got to see how deep that roster will be and how it will affect other divisions as well. Good stuff out of Triple H. Fightful was able to gain some more information about Fightful alumni Shane Helms heading to WWE. It was initially reported that Shane would be working with WWE as a producer immediately following the Royal Rumble, but he was actually originally contacted to be a full-time coach at the Performance Center, but there wasn't a defined role set later on. Helms was in Phoenix over the weekend and actually had several offers from other companies that were looking to bring him in. And I guess it shouldn't be a surprise that there were a number of people within WWE pushing to bring Shane on board. He's clearly friendly with the Hardy Boys, and there's just a ton of people who were from TNA that worked with him and spoke very highly of him and liked what he could do. I've talked on a number of occasions about Shane's versatility and why we made the move to bring him onto the podcast network, but I will say this, he has not returned my text messages this week, a true indication that he is very ungrateful about me making him relevant again. That was a joke. We also have some Raw and SmackDown notes. Raw's script was not handed out until very late Monday. You may have heard me say that on the post-Raw podcast. It frustrated a lot of people backstage. WWE had a bunch of new producers backstage They had a lot of SmackDown wrestlers backstage as well, and it made it a little bit busier than usual. SmackDown script, on the other hand, was finished early, had a much more laid-back atmosphere. On that script, Rey Mysterio was set to face Samoa Joe on that early script, but there were a couple of changes made as well. Other news, I spoke to Impact wrestlers Jordynne Grace and Ethan Page recently. Now, if you ever watched those two, Jordynne Grace is a woman who has this power character, runs it unlike almost any other woman in the world. Ethan Page is a 260-pound heavyweight who wrestles a much more cruiserweight style. So, given that I got to speak to them at the same time, I thought it'd be interesting to ask them, like, what goes into those styles and what makes them adapt in that manner. For Jordynne, she said that she spends a lot more time outside the ring working on that style than in the ring, and said that she does a lot of work in the weight room that translate to a power-based offense and things that other people her size and her gender can't really do in the ring. Paige said that he's a large guy who's often competing against those hybrid athletes who are a lot quicker and smaller than him, and he just adjusts accordingly, mainly from a performance aspect instead of a stylistic aspect. He said that if he could get his way, he would be doing rock bottoms and DDTs all the time, but that's just not the case with modern day wrestling. And I thought that was very in key for him. It was very in touch for him to realize that, man, it may be hard to stand out, so I'm going to do everything that I can to stand out. And he does that. He does a lot. Like, he does a top rope body slam. Who else does a top rope scoop body slam? I think it's kind of cool. And I admire the fact that both of these wrestlers go out of their way to be different in a business where a lot of people are happy being cookie cutter. Switchblade Jay White was my guest on the most recent Making a Finisher, the January edition. I'm going to talk to you all about Punishment Martinez's in coming weeks, because somebody said, hey, you didn't talk to us on the weekly or on the report about Punishment Martinez's Making a Finisher, so I'll do that. Switchblade Jay White uses the Blade Runner, and he gets a lot of comparisons to the Sister Abigail because of that. But he said the move is actually to honor Alex Shelley, who was his first match in New Japan and trained with him at the dojo. He told me that he doesn't have any really real difficulties with anyone, although he expects it with some of the bigger guys. He told me that people who don't really, who take it, don't have much of an option how to bump off of it, but admitted that some of Omega's are his favorite cells. He also uses that crucifix elbow, Sharp Sensations, which he says that he uses from Gary Goodridge of UFC fame. One of the most famous knockouts in UFC history, especially early UFC history. He also walked me through the Kiwi Crusher finisher that he doesn't use as a finishing move, but that he used in Ring of Honor, and explained how he made it a little bit different than the version that Low Ki would use as well. Injury report, contract updates. Let's get into them. Updated injury report. WWE Raw, the newest one. Ember Moon suffered an elbow injury in January 2019 that requires surgery. She has been working on an injured elbow for a little while. Akam of the Authors of Pain underwent knee surgery in January 2019, expected to be out for 2 months. His partner, Rezar, teamed with Scott Dawson at the Royal Rumble. Have a bit of an update on Jason Jordynne. He's recovering from neck surgery out since last January. I was told that his career is likely over and he is struggling with his grip strength. A source told me this and I followed up, and a person told me they would be surprised if he wrestled again. If that is the case, that is downright tragic. He's still very young. Let's hope that as time progresses, science catches up to him and his body, and we get more out of Jason Jordynne. Because if it is the end for Jason Jordynne, he was robbed of a great career and we were robbed of a lot of entertainment. I loved what he was doing. Roman Reigns announced he was battling leukemia on October 22nd. Sidelined indefinitely, he is going to take some Hollywood roles. Triple H tore his pectoral on November 2nd, had surgery 4 days later. He's been working as an on-screen authority figure. Fandango tore his left labrum in early July, sidelined until early this year. He has started training for his return and is appearing on WWE digital properties. Kevin Owens, double knee surgery in October. Vignette started to air for his return, but haven't been on TV for 3 weeks. He looks to have lost a lot of weight. Sami Zayn, double shoulder surgery in June. Vignettes aired for his return as well. He is training at the Performance Center. Goldust had double knee surgery in July, expected to return this year, but says the end of his career is nearing and has been doing some scouting work for WWE. Rowan returned from injury. He had been out since August, where he pretty in a pretty ballsy move defended his tag titles. He dropped them so they wouldn't vacate them. A lot of respect to him for that. He is now a sidekick for Daniel Bryan. Sin Cara, knee surgery on August 14th, expected back early this year, said to be cleared. Ty Dillinger sustained a hand injury on October 29th, which required surgery. He started rehab 2 months ago. Luke Harper, out of action since early October with a wrist injury. He is cleared for a return. NXT, I mentioned the Tegan Knox non-answer I got out of Triple H. She tore her ACL, LCL, MCL, dislocated her kneecap and tore both meniscuses. No timetable for a return. I'd be surprised to see her back this year. Dakota Kai suffered a knee injury on December 7th. She confirmed that she had an ACL tear and surgery on January 17th. If she gets back by the end of the year, that would be positive. Tino Sabatelli tore his pec muscle in late April. Requires surgery, out until early 2019. Eric Bugenhagen has a concussion. Hasn't wrestled. Appearing on WWE digital properties. Sanjay Dutt tore his right Achilles tendon in 2017, actually when he was with Impact Wrestling. He is now working backstage for WWE. Has missed all of 2018. No idea when or if he'll wrestle again. Over in AEW, Joey Janela is quote-unquote sidelined up to a year after September 2018 knee injury that he says he's not having surgery on. I believe he said that he's rehabbing it. He is appearing on BTE. Cody Rhodes, working with the torn meniscus. He's supposed to have surgery, but he's showing up at all these events and doing stuff. He'll be on screen still. Rosemary, over in Impact Wrestling, has an undisclosed knee injury from early February last year. Had to have been a torn ACL. Still out of action. Returned at the January 6th Impact pay-per-view, but has not wrestled yet. Over in Ring of Honor, Shibata has his subdural hematoma. His in-ring return is unlikely. He is committed to a return, but has made some meet-and-greet appearances for ROH. Hikuleo has that ACL injury that he sustained on March 3rd last year. Tama Tonga told Fightful that Hikuleo will come back in February. Hiromu Takahashi landed on his neck and was hospitalized July 7th. Sunil Dashwood rehabbing her shoulder, which she had surgery on in October. She is appearing on an on-screen role. Kota Ibushi pulled from New Japan events due to a concussion sustained on January 4th. In his match with Will Ospreay, it said not to be serious, but he's still not working. Knee surgery for Michael Elgin. He actually injured that back in November. It waited until December to have surgery, which is something he tried to make sure that he needed surgery on. It ended up missing the Tokyo Dome. He sustained a bucket tear meniscus injury. Chris Sabin, believed to have torn his ACL on January 12th. That'd be brutal. That's his third. Flip Gordon is expected to be back by the MSG show after he tore his MCL on January 13th. MLW, Marco Stunt broke his leg on November 17th. Jason Cade broke his ankle and hasn't wrestled since November 17th. Others around the world, Vanessa Craven broke her leg in late October. She requires surgery. Swervo, fella got hit with that cinder block, has a blood clot. Matt Sydal has surgery in January after a mid-December injury to his knee. He's planning for a March-April return. He has had significant interest across the free agent market. Anthony Stone has a broken collarbone, 2 collapsed lungs, and 4 broken ribs that he sustained on January 27th. There is a GoFundMe set up for the costs of his recovery. Wrestling contracts, here we go. Well, We mentioned that Trevor Lee signed last week. Shane Strickland looks to be back on his way to WWE after he reevaluated his options and got a better deal. Also, you got Shane Helms, Sean Daivari, Jeff Jarrett, Abyss, Sanjay Dutt, all confirmed going to WWE. Dean Ambrose, late April 2019, I'm told. He's out of his deal. That's what WWE confirmed, not I'm told. But he asked for his informed them that he would be leaving. Of course, Hideo Itami asked for his release, was granted it. Other expirations this year, AJ Styles so far at April 2019. Nakamura's deal is up this year. The Good Brothers in September. Stephanie McMahon, October 7th, as an on-screen talent. Jim Ross in March. Mauro Ranallo in June. For 2020, Rey Mysterio has an out clause after 18 months, which would put him out at October 2020 otherwise. You have Mojo Rawley signed through 2020. Mandy Rose, late 2020. 2021 Ronda Rousey's expiration. She signed through April 10th. Jerry Lawler through January 10th, 2021. Other names you have, Big Show, spring 2021. Kevin Owens, April 2023. Miz, 2022. All Elite Wrestling. Cody and the Young Bucks signed through January of 2024. Chris Jericho through 2021, we are told that they signed, according to Wrestling Observer, the best friends, Chucky T, Trent Beretta, will be heading to All Elite Wrestling. Also, they reported that Kylie Rae and Sammy Guevara are going to All Elite Wrestling. Now, that is a little bit confusing because you had heard about the Sammy Guevara contract with Era Lucha, but, I mean, if you're Era Lucha, why are you signing people to deals like that? Two, if you're Sammy Guevara, why are you signing that? Three, I don't know if those can even be contested. Era Lucha has ran four shows. They ran December 2017, then they ran two shows back-to-back in January, and then one in June, and it has been silent since then. Barely any reaction for us who sarcastically invested in the damn promotion. When I asked Shane Helms about it, he didn't know. When I asked Vince Russo, he said, now, they didn't sign me to a deal. They brought me in, and I told them I would sign if they got TV. So there are people within the company that had no idea what's going on. We will work to find out. When Rey Mysterio signed with WWE, they seemed very flustered. I think that they didn't expect Rey... Well, they straight up said that they didn't expect Rey Mysterio to sign that early. I think it was Andrew Thompson or Jeremy Lambert who reached out about that from Fightful.com and asked about that. So I knew people were going to ask me about the Sammy Guevara thing because he had signed a deal with Era Lucha. But what good is that deal? Especially when you got AEW knocking on your door. New Japan, Ring of Honor. Jim Ross, Josh Barnett's deals with Access are up now. Kushida finished up with New Japan. He is leaving. Kenny Omega's deal is up. I don't know why anybody would expect him to sign anywhere but All Elite Wrestling at this point. Madison Rayne through September 2019. Kota Ibushi still working as a freelancer. Michael Elgin through January 2020. Beer City Bruiser through the end of this year. Silas Young through 2021. You got Flip Gordon until 2020 at the very least. Then you had their big re-signings. You had Juice Robinson, January 2022, and now he is an integral part of Ring of Honor. Silas Young through 2021. Rocky Romero and Chase Owens through 2021. Rush through 2019. Bandido through 2019. Rush is also with CMLL through 2020. Lucha Underground. We mentioned Shane Strickland's contract expired. Eva Lise asked for her release. Pentagon and Phoenix have Season 5 out clauses, supposedly, but apparently if they asked for their release, they would be granted after Season 4. We'll see how that ends up. Moose signed through July 2020. Over in MLW, Pentagon, Ray Phoenix, Selena, all through 2019. But Davey Boy Smith signed through 2020. Court Bauer has cleared up any confusion. He says that these contracts are legally binding in case you were wondering, because a lot of people wondered if it would be like an Aralucha situation where people could just get out of them. Not per Court Bauer. I want to thank you guys so much for joining us. I know for some of you, this is your first time subscribing to Fightful.com. If there's something more you want, you let me know. We'll make it happen. Thank you guys. I appreciate every one of you. I can't tell you how important you are to me, that you are investing in me, investing in Steven Jensen, investing in Warren Hayes, investing in the personalities that are bringing you stuff here on Fightful Select. This is the most direct way to support us. We make money off the free site based on ad clicks, but you all saying, you know what, I'll give you $5, I'll give you $10, I'll give you $50. That is the most direct way. There's not an ad click that can replicate that, and that's why I try to give you all everything that we can. Thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.